All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? You're alive. Yes, you're doing great. You are doing great if you're alive today. What a blessing it was yesterday, the great weather, the cooler weather, before it gets to triple digits, right? But I'm thankful for all of you. Thank you for being here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. Today is a special day. Not only do we get to come together to worship God together, but we get to recognize some very special people today. We get to recognize our students, that have graduated, eighth graders that are being promoted to high school, high schoolers that have graduated from high school and are moving on to college, and college graduates, people that are moving on or furthering their careers. And so I want to thank you for being here. And in honoring our students and thanking God for them and all that God is doing in their lives, we do have some students that are a part of our church that are going on missions this summer. All right? And if anyone's going on missions this summer, I want to ask you if you're a student. I actually want to ask all of you to come up. If you are a student and you're going on missions, I want you guys to come up here. Right here, in front. Yes, YSMP counts as well. That's a mission trip. If you are a student. Yeah, in front. All right, sorry. Yeah, you can line up there. Okay. And here we have Alan Gong. All right, Alan Gong, he's going to be going overseas. He's going to be going overseas on a mission trip. We're not going to tell you where, okay? But we want to ask you to please keep him in your prayers, all right? He's going to go there. He's going to be gaining a bunch of skills, but he's also going to have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. And so we want to lift him up in prayer, and we want to lift up our other students that are going to be joining us on the Youth Summer Mission Project as well. And so if you would like to stand in support as we pray, I want to invite you all to stand and pray with me as we lift up these students that are going on missions. We can come up here if you would like to lay hands, okay, not violent hands, but supporting prayerful hands, okay, on these students. Please come up. Yeah, and it's okay if you don't lay your hand specifically on them. You can put your hand on the person next to you or in front of you. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we praise you for who you are. God, you are the Creator. You are almighty. You are sovereign, totally in control. And God, we thank you for giving us life. We thank you, God, for these students, these dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who have decided to sacrifice time and energy and resources to go. To go outside of their comfort zones, to go outside of what's normal for them, to go and reach out to those that are lost, to those that need Jesus. God, we lift them up to you. We pray that even now you would continue to prepare their hearts, that you would strengthen them. God, that you would give them boldness, that you would give them courage, that you'd give them humility, that you give them ears to listen, eyes to see, and a mouth that speaks your truth. God, give them sensitivity to the people that they're going to come in contact with. That they would not only be willing to share their story, but that they would be willing to listen to other people's stories. God, help them to be sensitive to your leading, the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, we ask for your protection to be upon them. We ask, God, that you would give them courage when things seem uncertain, when things seem uneasy or awkward. God, help them to take courage, knowing that you are in total control. Help them to take courage, knowing that you have given them everything that they need to do everything that you have called them to do. And so we thank you for them. God, thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for what you have been doing in their lives. Thank you for their dear families. We continue to pray for them and lift them up to you. We ask for your special provision and blessing to be upon them. We thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you, God, for giving us a treasure to share. Thank you for giving us a story to tell. Thank you for giving us a message, God, that needs to be heard. And so we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You guys can all sit down, unless you're graduating. All right, at this time I want to ask all the graduates to come up here. If you are promoting from 8th grade, if you've graduated from high school, you need to come up here right now. If you graduate from college as well. All right, so we're going to do this. Instead of me reading off a list of names and parents and schools, I'm going to have our graduates share with you their name and their parents and their school and what they graduated with and where they're going. And so, graduates, I have a list up here, a script for you. All right? The number one says name, okay? That means share your name, okay? I know they're done with school, all right? So I have to give them specific instructions, okay? All right, so we'll start with our 8th graders, okay? 8th graders. So if you guys could just line up right here, 8th grader, 8th grader, just come up here. Hold on, I got to grab some stuff here. All right. William, please tell us your name.
Okay, so my name is William Joe. My parents' names are Lena Hunt and Joseph Joe. I graduated from Basis Phoenix, but I'll still be attending the high school there at a new campus. And I will not be working anywhere.
All right, William, congratulations. All right, we're excited for you as you start high school. There's a little gift for you. All right, thanks for being here. You can sit down. You don't have to stand up here the whole time. All right. There are some others that are going to be going into high school. They're not here, able to join us today. So now I want to call up our high schoolers. High schoolers, graduated high schoolers, please line up here. All right. Yeah. Okay, you get to go first.
All right. My name is Allison Yee, daughter of Paul and Cindy Yee, and I'll be graduating from Basis Phoenix. And I will be attending Purdue University in the fall.
What are you going to be majoring in?
Oh, majoring in biomedical engineering.
What was that?
Biomedical engineering.
You're majoring in biomedical engineering. Okay, Allison, congratulations. This is a gift for you. All right, let's give her a hand.
My name is Sarah, and my parents are Nwenwa Nguyen and Philip, and I graduated from Horizon High School, and I will be attending the University of Arizona at the Honors College, and I'll be studying physiology.
Thank you. Congratulations, Sarah.
Hi, I'm Amanda Gong, daughter of Mark and Shuling Gong. I'm graduating from Basis Scottsdale, and I'm going to be a teacher. Are you listening? U of A with their Honors College, and I'll be majoring in biochemistry.
Congratulations. This is for you. Thank you, high schoolers. You guys can sit down. And now, wow, we have so many college graduates. Okay. We'll start on this end, okay? I'll ask you guys to come up and share with us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So, hey, guys. My name is Melanie. My parents' names are Hendrik Teo and Anastasia Ong. They're all the way in Indonesia, so they're not here. I graduated from Pima Medical Institute with phlebotomy, so I poke people, and they really love it. Mm-hmm. And I am working at Sonora Quest Laboratories. That's it.
Wow. Congratulations. This is for you.
My name is Catherine Iramata. My parents are Harrison and Karen Kai. I graduated with my PhD in statistics from Arizona State University, and I am currently unemployed, but I will soon be unemployed in Washington, D.C.
Wow. Catherine, congratulations. This is for you.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Kyle Iramata. I'm the son of Gary and Terry Iramata. I just graduated also from Arizona State University with my PhD in statistics. I'll be moving to Washington, D.C. to work at the Census Bureau starting in July.
Hello. My name is Paul Sun. My parents' name is James Sun and Jinlin Sun. I graduated from Gateway Seminary, and I graduated with a Master's in Theological Studies. And right now, I'm just currently working as an analyst at a technology company. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Luke. My parents' name are Marion and Simon Luke, and I graduated from ASU with a bachelor's in marketing and business data analytics. And don't know about master's or anything yet. And then I will be traveling, not working yet.
All right, Jennifer, congratulations.
Hi, my name is Lisa Iramata. My parents are Gary and Terry Iramata. I graduated from Notre Dame with a master's in mechanical engineering. I'm not doing any more school. And I started working at Intel last August, so, yeah.
Congratulations. You guys can go sit down. All right, there are some who could not be here this morning. Yeah, let's give all of our graduates a hand. Our very own Morgan Tang also graduated from Grand Canyon University. She wasn't able to be here today. But graduates, students, we are so thankful for you. And most of these graduates, whether it's through college and high school, they've grown up in this church. They've gone through the youth group, and it's pretty amazing to see how God has provided for them, how God has blessed them, and how God continues to work in their lives. And this encouragement is not only for students this morning, but it's for us as a church. It's for each one of us as followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to start by sharing a story with you. A pastor once invited a well-known biblical scholar to lunch. Okay, they had just got done with a conference, and this scholar had just finished speaking at a conference one afternoon. And the pastor told this scholar how inspired he was by his productivity as a thinker, as a writer, and the pastor went on to ask the scholar a question. The pastor said, "I'm amazed by your work. How did you manage to be so prolific? How did you manage to be so prolific, so good at what you do?" The theological heavyweight mumbled under his breath, "I sacrificed my son." The pastor was stunned. The pastor was stunned by these words, and he thought he misunderstood him. And he asked him again, "What did you say?" The scholar replied angrily, "You heard me. I said I sacrificed my son." The scholar continued to say that he had been so driven to research, write, publish, and make a name for himself in the academic world that he neglected his family. His son essentially grew up as a stranger to his father. And now as an adult, his son was a homeless man, sleeping on the streets. The pastor tried to comfort him, as a good pastor should, right? "I'm sure that's not your fault," he said. Even more angrily, the scholar replied, "Don't you try to make me feel better. Yes, I did that. Even though people seem to be amazed by my productivity as a scholar, the fact is, I would give up every single one of those books, and far, far more, just to have my son back. Then this prolific writer looked across the table, straight into the pastor's eyes. And he said, "Just in case you want to walk in these footsteps, in my footsteps, know that I pray to God that you will not." You see, this conversation stuck with this pastor for weeks. He just could not forget about it. It kept resonating and repeating in his mind what this scholar had shared with him. And it led him to start taking a closer look at his own life. A closer look at his life and his responsibility as a husband, as a father. And he realized this one thing. He realized that he was failing. He realized that he was failing. That one conversation led him to make a change in his life. That one conversation led him to change and reset his priorities in life and ministry. And he never once regretted making a radical change. You see, dear church family, today I want to have a conversation with you. I want to have a conversation with you, dear brother, dear sister. Yes, we all know, right? Kids, they grow up and they make their own choices. You can grow up in a great home, have everything you need as a child, and still make bad and rebellious choices. There's no guarantees, right? I understand that full well. But my question for all of you this morning is this. Are you making disciples? Are you making disciples? Parents, are you making disciples of Jesus Christ, of your children? Children that know, love, and follow Jesus Christ. And if you're not a parent, you're not off the hook this morning. It's the whole body of Christ's responsibility to help train children to follow the Lord. It's the whole body of Christ's responsibility. Yes, the main responsibility is for mothers and fathers. But each one of us plays a part as well. What part do you play? Dear church member, dear brother, dear sister, how is it that you are making disciples? How is it that you are nurturing followers of Jesus Christ? What type of influence are you having on the next generation? And you know what? It requires spiritual wisdom. It requires wisdom. It requires discipline. It requires surrender. It requires sacrifice. It requires a willingness to be conformed to the commands of Jesus Christ. And not to conform His commands to our comfort and convenience. You see, in order to disciple others to love and live for Jesus, we must spend intentional and personal time with people. In order to make disciples that love and live for God, you and me, you and I, we must spend intentional and personal time with people. How is it that you are making disciples, dear church? Because the reality is this. There's a danger that I am made more aware of each and every day that I wake up. As a parent of children of my own, as a pastor, as a youth pastor, as working with youth for over 15 years, I am aware of this more and more. This danger that students, that children are choosing the world instead of God. People, not just children, people are choosing the world instead of choosing God. And I know we don't like to hear that. We like to know that, yeah, we grew up in church, we brought our kids to church. They're fine. Because we attended every Sunday, most Sundays. The reality is that people are choosing the world instead of choosing God. And what is your response going to be, church? What is your response to the command of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples? And I pray, it's my prayer that today you would start, that you would commit each day, starting today, prayerfully, thoughtfully, intentionally. You will choose to make disciples. How? How can we do this? I'm not going to give you a 3-step plan. I'm not going to give you a 10-point instructional sermon. How can we make disciples that follow and love Jesus Christ? One thing I want you to remember today. One thing. If you desire to make disciples of Jesus Christ, one thing that I want you to commit to. I want to ask you to prayerfully think about, and hopefully, I pray to God that you'll commit to this. If you want to make disciples of Jesus Christ, give people Jesus. Give people Jesus. You see, big homes, nice cars, long vacations, big secure retirement accounts, well-crafted resumes, expansive networks of people, having your 5- and 10-year plan all mapped out, it's not worth neglecting your soul, is it? It's not worth neglecting people's souls, is it? Yes, these things are good. These things are blessings from the Lord. But the last thing we need, students, the last thing we need in this world is another doctor, another lawyer, another teacher. The last thing we need is another doctor, another lawyer, another teacher. What we need are doctors, lawyers, and teachers that follow Jesus. Disciples of Jesus Christ that bring hope and life to a hopeless and dying world. Graduates, the world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs a Savior. Look at what's going on all around. Yes, there's a lot of good things. God is still good. He's still alive and well and working. But look at the consequences of sin and brokenness all around. You see it on the news. You see children dying. You see people losing hope, taking their own lives, taking other people's lives. You see people trying to fill a void with drugs, with other substances, with relationships, with accolades. But we know that earthly things will never satisfy. Only Jesus, right? The world needs Jesus, and the world needs you, dear brothers, dear sisters. Students, the world needs you now. Not when you become an adult. The world needs you now. So how can you make disciples? Disciples of those that God brings into your life, give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. I want to share with you this passage in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And I want to read from verse 1 through verse 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. It's not going to be up on the screen. If you can just close your eyes if you don't have it and just listen. Psalm 78. But don't fall asleep. Verse 1 through 8. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. I'll read it to you out loud. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Okay, you can open your eyes. Or you can wake up. Wake up! You see, this passage was written about the nation of Israel. A lot of us know the history of God's chosen people, right? You know the nature of their relationship with God. They were God's chosen people. God made covenants with them. He promised to bless them. And God never goes back on His promises, right? But you see the cycle all throughout biblical history. God, even with God's very chosen people, things would be going well. They'd be focused on the Lord, following God. And then when things are going well, they start to lose focus. They start to turn away from God. They start to sin. They start to worship other gods. They start to worship idols. And they suffer the consequences. You see them being taken over. You see them being displaced and captured and exiled. All of these different things, consequences of their own sin, of their own turning away from God. God giving them what they want. And then you see God graciously and mercifully extend forgiveness and grace. And you see the nation turn back to God and things are going well again. And then as things are going well, you start to see the nation of Israel start to turn away from God over and over, a cycle. And I just shared this with our youth this morning. And think about how far we've come as the United States. As a society. Think about all the innovation. Think about all the progress we have made. I think about technology. How things are so much more convenient and technology has made things so much easier. Some things not. Think about how great it is to be alive in this nation. How comfortable, how safe, how luxurious it can be. To have so many options and things to do and experience. How we have grown, right? We've grown so much. What about in our faith in God? What about in following Jesus? How have we progressed as a nation? Back from when? The biblical times. How far have we come? You see, the reality is that as long as we're alive and on this earth, there's going to be sin and there's going to be brokenness. You see, but is our priority the commands of Christ? Are we giving this world what they need? Are we giving the world Jesus? Are you giving your children Jesus by how you live, by how you act, by how you set your priorities, by how you communicate what's important to you, by how you live your life? And I know I maybe sound like a broken record because I always end up here talking about this. Living for Jesus. Giving people Jesus. You look at this passage, right? We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation. Tell them what? What are they going to tell? They're going to tell the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonders, all that He has done. God gave them decrees and statutes, the law and the covenant. And He commanded them to teach their children. Why? So that the next generation would know them. How many of you have ever heard that proverb, train up a child in the way that they are to go and when they will not depart when they're older? Why is it that so many of our young people are falling away from the church, falling away from God? Because to be honest, I as a parent, I need to do a better job of training up my children to follow the Lord. Of putting God first. Of making God the Lord of my life. And not just the Lord of Sunday. I need to do a better job. I need to put my trust in God for my future, for my provision, for my daily bread. I need to put my trust in His plan for my life and not just what I want. So that the next generation would know Him. See, even to go so far as the children yet to be born, thinking ahead generation to generation, as a church, our legacy should be generation after generation of people following Jesus and going out into the world and telling the world. And I thank God for faithful brothers and sisters. We see multiple generations of followers of Jesus Christ right here in this room today. Let's not give up, church. Let's not forget why you're here. Let's not forget why we are here, brother and sister. Because time is short. I'm reminded of that every day. Time is short here on this earth. So that the next generation may know. Why do we tell them? Look at that. Think back in that passage. We teach them God's Word. We tell them about all the great things that God has done. Why? Then they would put their trust in God. They would put their trust in God. Will you give them Jesus? Who are you giving Jesus to? How are you giving Jesus to people? You look in this passage. It's in word. It's in action. Sharing God's word. Knowing what God has done. Remembering what God has done in your own life. Remembering what God has done in history. How do you give them Jesus? By setting your priorities right. By setting them straight. By putting God first. Because if God is first, then your life will follow. Your works will follow and bear witness to Jesus Christ if God is the Lord of your life. If Jesus is the Savior and Lord of your life, then your life will bear witness to Him. But see, if money, if fame, if comfort, if success, if security is your God, then your life will bear witness to that. And the disciples that we make, if those things are our God, the disciples that we will make are disciples of comfort, disciples of safety, disciples of this world. That's the reality of today. That's what hangs in the balance of how you and I live our life. And I say this because this is a message for myself. I'm not trying to point at you and say, you. This is for me. It's in words, it's in action. How do you give people Jesus? By setting your priorities and letting your life bear witness to Him. And how do you give people Jesus? You let them know and you put priority in your relationship with the Savior. Right? Following Jesus. Christianity is not about a list of rules and regulations. It's always been about a relationship. It's always been about a relationship with the Creator. With your God, your Heavenly Father, it's always been about a relationship. And if my relationship is not growing and thriving, what kind of relationship do I have to share with those around me, with my children, with the people that God brings into my life? If I am not focusing on growing my relationship with God, what do I have to say about their relationship with God? See, dear friends, we need to show this world that God's Word does apply to life. God's Word and God has everything to do with life. God is all about relationships. And see, we're here because of Him and we're here for Him. That the next generation would know those words, would know those commands, would know the great things of God, even those that are yet to be born, and that they would turn and tell their children to the next generation. And then they would know God, they would know His deeds, all the great things He has done, His promises, His commands, that they would put their trust in Him and that they would never forget. They would not forget. You see, isn't that the tendency? Even for us in the church, to forget God. And then when something difficult comes up, then we run back to God. And then when things are good, we start feeling good about ourselves. Life is great. Things are going well. I'm safe. I'm comfortable. I got this. I got that. And then when some difficulty comes, oh God, I need you. How is it that you're giving them Jesus? And will you choose today and every day to give them Jesus? I'm not just talking to students, I'm talking to you. Brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, father, mother, uncle, aunt, co-worker. Give them Jesus. Not just in word, but through your life. Pray with me. All right. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I got to share this last story with you. Because it, again, emphasizes the need so clearly. And if you want, you can open your eyes if you're tired or something. Okay, but yeah, you're welcome to open your eyes. Sorry. As you know, like I said before, I've been working with students for a long time. Okay, over 15 years working with teenagers, students, and I was talking some. I don't remember 99% of what I've talked to students about or what they've said to me, but there are certain things that stick with me and that I will never forget. And years ago, I was talking with a student, and they were in the midst of finals. They were in the midst of the busyness and the craziness of school. It was finals week, and they had been spending all of their time studying like a good student would do, which is great, doing their best, giving their best, fulfilling their responsibility as a student. And I remember meeting up with them. This was a long time ago. Meeting up with them and sharing a meal with them and just so that they could have a break and so that we could catch up and I could talk with them. And as we were eating, the whole conversation was consumed by school, which is natural, right? It's finals week and that's all they've been doing is studying. And I ended up asking them this, well, how's your relationship with God going? And we didn't really get into it. I didn't really give them time to answer that question. I just wanted to put that in there. But I said, hey, you should take a break and you should come to church. Come to church this Sunday. It's been a while and I know you're busy, but you should come to church. Let's worship together. Take a 2-hour break from studying and come to church. And I'll never forget the reply that I got from this student. Pastor Steve, let's get real. I know we're supposed to put God first, but really? Do you not know what I have to do? Really, school's first. Yeah, I know you could put God first, but really, Pastor Steve, school is first right now. And I was torn up. Like, oh man, really? School? Yes, it's important. Finals are very important. But really, school's most important. What are we doing, church? These are our youth. And if we're not making disciples of Jesus, then they're following the world. And it's our responsibility. Will you give them Jesus? And will you do it today? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. God, I pray that we would never forget what you have done. That we would never forget Jesus. That we'd never forget that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that our sin debt could be canceled, so that there would be no separation between us anymore. God, thank you for the hope that we have only in Jesus. God, I pray for our students. I pray that you would raise up this generation, that you would continue to stir in their hearts and mold them and make them to follow you, God, to trust in you with all their hearts, with all their minds, with all their strength. God, that they would be out in this world as doctors, as lawyers, as teachers, as whatever it is, engineers. But first and foremost, God, that they would be witnesses of Jesus Christ. They would be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that they would use all of those skills, all of that knowledge, all of those degrees, all the people, the networks that they have accumulated in their lives, that they would use all of that they have and that they've been given for your glory and for your kingdom. And God, I pray that as a church, that we would be all about making disciples of Jesus, that we would stop, take a moment, and consider our own lives, and consider who or what it is that is our God. And I pray, God, that we would choose today whom we will serve, and that we will choose to serve you. Each and every day. Until Jesus comes to take us home. And God, we thank you for being so patient with us and so forgiving and gracious. We ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we respond to God. If you would like to pray, if you would like to just respond to God by praying by yourself here at the steps here, I invite you to come and pray, to pray for our students, to pray for our church, to pray for our nation. If you'd like to respond to God, if you'd like me to pray with you, come as we sing. Divine world. Graduates, the world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs a Savior. Look at what's going on all around. Yes, there's a lot of good things. God is still good. He's still alive and well and working. But look at the consequences of sin and brokenness all around. You see it on the news. You see children dying. You see people losing hope, taking their own lives, taking other people's lives. You see people trying to fill a void with drugs, with other substances, with relationships, with accolades. But we know that earthly things will never satisfy. Only Jesus, right? The world needs Jesus. And the world needs you, dear brothers, dear sisters. Students, the world needs you now. Not when you become an adult. The world needs you now. So how can you make disciples? Disciples of those that God brings into your life, give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. I want to share with you this passage in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And I want to read from verse 1 through verse 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. It's not going to be up on the screen. You can just close your eyes if you don't have it and just listen. Psalm 78. But don't fall asleep. Verse 1 through 8. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. I'll read it to you out loud. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Okay, you can open your eyes. Or you can wake up. Wake up! You see, this passage was written about the nation of Israel. A lot of us know the history of God's chosen people, right? You know the nature of their relationship with God. They were God's chosen people. God made covenants with them. He promised to bless them. And God never goes back on His promises, right? But you see the cycle all throughout biblical history. God, even with God's very chosen people, things would be going well. They'd be focused on the Lord, following God. And then when things are going well, they start to lose focus. They start to turn away from God. They start to sin. They start to worship other gods. They start to worship idols. And they suffer the consequences. You see them being taken over. You see them being displaced and captured and exiled. All of these different things, consequences of their own sin, of their own turning away from God. God giving them what they want. And then you see God graciously and mercifully extend forgiveness and grace. And you see the nation turn back to God and things are going well again. And then as things are going well, you start to see the nation of Israel start to turn away from God over and over, a cycle. And I just shared this with our youth this morning. And think about how far we've come as the United States, as a society. Think about all the innovation. Think about all the progress we have made. I think about technology, how things are so much more convenient and technology has made things so much easier. Some things not. Think about how great it is to be alive in this nation. How comfortable, how safe, how luxurious it can be to have so many options and things to do and experience. How we have grown, right? We've grown so much. What about in our faith in God? What about in following Jesus? How have we progressed as a nation? Back from when? The biblical times. How far have we come? You see, the reality is that as long as we're alive and on this earth, there's going to be sin and there's going to be brokenness. You see, but is our priority the commands of Christ? Are we giving this world what they need? Are we giving the world Jesus? Are you giving your children Jesus? By how you live, by how you act, by how you set your priorities, by how you communicate what's important to you, by how you live your life. And I know I maybe sound like a broken record because I always end up here talking about this. Living for Jesus. Giving people Jesus. You look at this passage, right? We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation. Tell them what? What are they going to tell? They're going to tell the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonders, all that He has done. God gave them decrees and statutes, the law and the covenants. And He commanded them to teach their children. Why? So that the next generation would know them. How many of you have ever heard that proverb, train up a child in the way that they are to go and when they will not depart when they're older? Why is it that so many of our young people are falling away from the church, falling away from God? Because to be honest, I as a parent, I need to do a better job of training up my children to follow the Lord. Of putting God first. Of making God the Lord of my life. And not just the Lord of Sunday. I need to do a better job. I need to put my trust in God for my future, for my provision, for my daily bread. I need to put my trust in His plan for my life and not just what I want. So that the next generation would know Him. See, even to go so far as the children yet to be born, thinking ahead generation to generation, as a church, our legacy should be generation after generation of people following Jesus and going out into the world and telling the world. And I thank God for faithful brothers and sisters. We see multiple generations of followers of Jesus Christ right here in this room today. Let's not give up, church. Let's not forget why you're here. Let's not forget why we are here, brother and sister. Because time is short. I'm reminded of that every day. Time is short here on this earth. So that the next generation may know. Why do we tell them? Look at that. Think back in that passage. We teach them God's Word. We tell them about all the great things that God has done. Why? And then they would put their trust in God. They would put their trust in God. Will you give them Jesus? Who are you giving Jesus to? How are you giving Jesus to people? You look in this passage, it's in word, it's in action. Sharing God's Word, knowing what God has done, remembering what God has done in your own life, remembering what God has done in history. How do you give them Jesus? By setting your priorities right, by setting them straight, by putting God first. Because if God is first, then your life will follow. Your works will follow and bear witness to Jesus Christ. If God is the Lord of your life, if Jesus is the Savior and Lord of your life, then your life will bear witness to Him. But see, if money, if fame, if comfort, if success, if security is your God, then your life will bear witness to that. And the disciples that we make, if those things are our God, the disciples that we will make are disciples of comfort, disciples of safety, disciples of this world. That's the reality of today. That's what hangs in the balance of how you and I live our life. And I say this because this is a message for myself. I'm not trying to point at you and say, you. This is for me. It's in words, it's in action. How do you give people Jesus? By setting your priorities and letting your life bear witness to Him. And how do you give people Jesus? You let them know. And you put priority in your relationship with the Savior. Right? Following Jesus. Christianity is not about a list of rules and regulations. It's always been about a relationship. It's always been about a relationship with the Creator. With your God, your Heavenly Father. It's always been about a relationship. And if my relationship is not growing and thriving, what kind of relationship do I have to share with those around me, with my children? With the people that God brings into my life. If I am not focusing on growing my relationship with God, what do I have to say about their relationship with God? See, dear friends, we need to show this world that God's Word does apply to life. God's Word and God has everything to do with life. God is all about relationships. And see, we're here because of Him and we're here for Him. That the next generation would know those words, would know those commands, would know the great things of God, even those that are yet to be born, and that they would turn and tell their children to the next generation. And then they would know God, they would know His deeds, all the great things He has done, His promises, His commands, that they would put their trust in Him and that they would never forget. They would not forget. You see, isn't that the tendency? Even for us in the church, to forget God. And then when something difficult comes up, then we run back to God. And then when things are good, we start feeling good about ourselves. Ah, life is great. Things are going well. I'm safe. I'm comfortable. I got this. I got that. And then when some difficulty comes, oh God, I need you. How is it that you're giving them Jesus? And will you choose today and every day to give them Jesus? I'm not just talking to students, I'm talking to you. Brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, father, mother, uncle, aunt, co-worker. Give them Jesus. Not just in word, but through your life. Pray with me. All right. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I got to share this last story with you. Because it, again, emphasizes the need so clearly. And if you want, you can open your eyes if you're tired or something. Okay, but yeah, you're welcome to open your eyes. Sorry. As you know, like I said before, I've been working with students for a long time. Okay, over 15 years working with teenagers, students, and I was talking some. I don't remember 99% of what I've talked to students about or what they've said to me, but there are certain things that stick with me and that I will never forget. And years ago, I was talking with a student, and they were in the midst of finals. They were in the midst of the busyness and the craziness of school. It was finals week, and they had been spending all of their time studying like a good student would do, which is great, doing their best, giving their best, fulfilling their responsibility as a student. And I remember meeting up with them. This was a long time ago. Meeting up with them and sharing a meal with them and just so that they could have a break and so that we could catch up and I could talk with them. And as we were eating, the whole conversation was consumed by school, which is natural, right? It's finals week and that's all they've been doing is studying. And I ended up asking them this, well, how's your relationship with God going? And we didn't really get into it. I didn't really give them time to answer that question. I just wanted to put that in there. But I said, hey, you should take a break and you should come to church. Come to church this Sunday. It's been a while and I know you're busy, but you should come to church. Let's worship together. Take a 2-hour break from studying and come to church. And I'll never forget the reply that I got from this student. Pastor Steve, let's get real. I know we're supposed to put God first, but really? Do you not know what I have to do? Really, school's first. Yeah, I know you could put God first, but really, Pastor Steve, school is first right now. And I was inside, I was torn up. Like, oh man, really? School? Yes, it's important. Finals are very important. But really, school's most important. What are we doing, church? These are our youth. And if we're not making disciples of Jesus, then they're following the world. And it's our responsibility. Will you give them Jesus? And will you do it today? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. God, I pray that we would never forget what you have done. That we would never forget Jesus. That we'd never forget that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that our sin debt could be canceled, so that there would be no separation between us anymore. God, thank you for the hope that we have only in Jesus. God, I pray for our students. I pray that you would raise up this generation, that you would continue to stir in their hearts and mold them and make them to follow you, God, to trust in you with all their hearts, with all their minds, with all their strength. God, that they would be out in this world as doctors, as lawyers, as teachers, as whatever it is, engineers. But first and foremost, God, that they would be witnesses of Jesus Christ. They would be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that they would use all of those skills, all of that knowledge, all of those degrees, all the people, the networks that they have accumulated in their lives, that they would use all of that they have and that they've been given for your glory and for your kingdom. And God, I pray that as a church, that we would be all about making disciples of Jesus, that we would stop, take a moment, and consider our own lives, and consider who or what it is that is our God. And I pray, God, that we would choose today whom we will serve, and that we will choose to serve you. Each and every day. Until Jesus comes. Take us home. And God, we thank you for being so patient with us and so forgiving and gracious. We ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we respond to God. If you would like to pray, if you would like to just respond to God by praying by yourself here at the steps here, I invite you to come and pray, to pray for our students, to pray for our church, to pray for our nation. If you'd like to respond to God, if you'd like me to pray with you, come as we sing.